go ahead and find your seat, and we'll be ready to get started. I'm going to lead us in another prayer just to prepare us for this time. So let's pray. Father, thanks so much for an opportunity to be in your house on this Easter Sunday. We just celebrate you and your resurrection. We just praise you that you have overcome sin and death, that we might have new life today and experience your resurrection power even here this morning. So we submit this time to you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a cough drop in my mouth, so I hope this doesn't disrupt you. I've just been going through a throat thing. My voice has been cracking, so just hopefully that doesn't be a distraction to you this morning. So the title of today's message is Resurrection App. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, 7 through 11, that's going to be our passage for today. If you're visiting with us, you don't have a Bible, that passage will be up on the screen. But if you do have a Bible, it'd be helpful for you to open to Philippians 3, 7 through 11, because I'm going to reference the passage right above that, so it'd be helpful for you to have that open right in front of you. So I wanted to start off with a little illustration this morning. I wanted to start off with an illustration of an iPhone. So bear with us, Android users. We're just going to have an iPhone illustration. You know what's crazy is that we found an iPhone this morning. Anyone lose an iPhone? You have one here? Anyone? It's Catherine's phone? Okay. So I'm going to leave this right here for her. Okay, this is an iPhone illustration. So how many of you guys have an iPhone 6 or later, like the 6, 6S, 6 Plus? Raise your hand. I want to make a count, so just put your hand up. All right. Wow, a lot of us. Like, I would say 60. Okay, put your hands down. How about an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 4, one of the versions of the 5 or the 4? So still a lot. I would say a half, so like 30 of those. How about later than that? How about iPhone 3? Anyone? Version of iPhone 3? How about iPhone 1? Is anyone here using an iPhone 1? Nobody? I found this out this week. I'm not a tech guy, but I talked to a tech guy to make sure that this was correct information. And he told me that that it is possible to walk around and use an iPhone 1. You know, you would be able to talk on the phone, you would be able to text and everything, but you would miss out on using some of the current apps, some of the current applications. And I thought that was a really good illustration of Easter, resurrection. See, if we came together on Easter Sunday and we looked back at the first Easter 2,000 years ago and the resurrection, there would be tremendous value in that, tremendous blessing in that. But I hope that this morning we gather together on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection, that there's also current application, current app of the resurrection story in our lives. That we're not just looking back at the resurrection, but we are moving in our lives current today, March 27, 2016, in resurrection power, and we are looking forward to resurrection in our lives too. So this morning as we celebrate Easter, I hope that there is application, app of the resurrection story in your life. So we're in Philippians chapter 3. The question that we're answering this morning from this passage, because when we talk about Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus, and it's about knowing Christ. So the question is, what does it mean to know Christ? And certainly, the idea of Jesus and his resurrection is a huge part of this answer. What does it mean to know Christ? Philippians 3, 7 through 11. Would you be able to read that out loud together? Just trying to spare my voice this morning as much as possible. So go ahead and read it out loud together. Philippians 3. But whatever we're... I want to bring us first to the last two verses, verse 10 and 11. And Paul is saying here that he knows Christ. He's in a relationship with Jesus. And he's saying that he's so excited about knowing Christ, because knowing Christ means that he can even rejoice, be joyful, even in times of suffering as a Christian. And he says in verse 10 and 11, there's two reasons why, as a Christian, that he can rejoice in his sufferings. The two reasons: one, that we get to become like Jesus. Whenever we are suffering, we're becoming like Jesus as Christians. And also, second thing, in verse 11, Paul was saying that when he's going through times of suffering as a Christian, it means that he is on the way to resurrection. That in the times that he's suffering, he's actually looking forward to attaining somehow to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying that as Christians, our suffering is momentary. It's temporary. And we got to look at it that we know that Jesus is leading us towards knowing Christ, leading us towards resurrection power. Let me put it like this for point number one. What does it mean to know Christ? Knowing Christ means we can embrace suffering because we are in the path toward resurrection. I had an illustration that I felt like that the Lord gave me in this. Interesting, New York City was mentioned this morning. So I have a little illustration about New York City. And that's the area that I grew up in. I grew up in a town called Edison, New Jersey, the suburb of New York City. And a lot of people that live in Edison, New Jersey, either work in New York City or somehow need direct access to New York City. So there's a train that goes direct from Midtown Manhattan and Penn Station. And it's a direct track that goes through different cities, but it ends up going through Edison, New Jersey, probably 2 miles away from the home where I grew up in. And I wanted to make the point this morning that if you took the train from New York City, from Penn Station, and you started heading towards, and I should mention also for the sake of this illustration, Edison is a safe suburban city. And so if you're headed towards a safe suburban city of Edison, New Jersey, on the way, you're going to pass through the most dangerous city in all of America. You might know the name of this, Newark, New Jersey. You're going to pass through Newark, New Jersey, which is known to have the highest crime rate in all of America, known to have the highest murder rate in all of America. You're literally going to pass through it, and you're going to have a momentary stop in Newark, New Jersey. But when you have that momentary stop in Newark, New Jersey, you're not going to worry about it. You're not going to start panicking because you know that it's a momentary stop, that you are headed towards safe, suburban Edison, New Jersey. And I wanted to say this morning that our Christian lives, Paul was saying in Philippians, needs to look a lot like that. When we are on our path and we come to a momentary place of suffering, Paul was saying that it's about knowing Christ. It's about moving forward to know Christ more. It's about moving forward even to attaining resurrection from the dead. It's about knowing Christ and his resurrection. It's also about experiencing resurrection in our lives. So every time as Christians, when we face a momentary time of suffering or trouble, that Paul was saying, we need to have a perspective that it is momentary, but we know that we keep on staying on the path of knowing Jesus, moving towards resurrection, having resurrection power in our lives, experiencing resurrection in this life, certainly in the life to come when we have resurrection bodies and live in the new heavens and the new earth. This is God's word to us. And I wanted to say this morning that I think this is a good word for some people who are gathered here on Easter Sunday. Some of us this morning are dealing with different things in our lives, different situations that are going on in our lives, in our families, etc. And for some of us, the temptation is to get off and to camp out in the suffering, to dwell in the suffering, to focus on the suffering, to begin to make a habitation in our suffering, instead of staying on the path of Jesus and moving forward to know him more and to experience his resurrection power. This morning, I want to bring an encouragement to you. If you found that you're in a place where this morning you come to Easter Sunday and to church and you find yourself dwelling on some suffering, dwelling on some troubles, this morning would you make a decision to turn towards Jesus, to say, Jesus, I make a decision today in obedience to your word to know you more and even to experience your resurrection power in my life today. So in this passage, Paul was saying that the resurrection of Jesus and knowing him certainly has truth and value to certain momentary troubles that we might face. But Paul is also saying in this passage that knowing Christ and his resurrection power also has value to helping us overcome a very common temptation in this world that we live in. So let's look at verses 7 through 8. Can you read it out loud again together, verses 7 through 8? But whatever gains to me, Paul was saying and making a comparison between the gains in this life and also knowing Christ. He was saying, he was making a comparison of the gains in this world versus knowing Christ. The Message translation translates gains as credentials. So Paul was making a compare contrast of his credentials versus knowing Christ. So let's look at his credentials. It's right in the preceding verses. So verses 4 through 6, if you would look down in your Bibles, in verses 4 through 6, those are the list of Paul's credentials. So it's up here on the screens as well. So in the NIV translation. So let's go ahead and read this out loud together too. This is a list of Paul's credentials, his gains in this life. If someone else thinks... This list of credentials was enviable amongst all the Jewish people, especially the Pharisees. Paul had a perfect resume. Paul had a perfect pedigree. Paul had a perfect list of accomplishments. He had perfect credentials. But when he made the comparison of his credentials that were perfect, that everybody wanted, versus knowing Christ, this is what he said. He said that he would consider his credentials garbage. That's the way the NIV translates it. The King James Version would translate garbage as rubbish. The New Living Translation would translate garbage as dumb. The Message Translation would translate garbage as dog dumb. So Paul was saying, and I know this is a gross image, but it's right here, right from Scripture, Paul was making the point that all the pressures that he faced before, that you and I face in this world when we go out there and we need to make it happen, we need to go get into our dream school, go get a job, make more money, you know, get married, etc. All these different accomplishments that we need to go after in this world, that the world puts the pressure on us. Paul was saying, if I can make this is the point that he was making. Again, I know this is a gross imagery, but he was saying this. Listen, when I became a Christian and I knew Christ, I got lifted out of the dog tongue. I got lifted out so that I could know Christ. Listen, I found something that's infinitely better of knowing Christ. And this is Paul speaking, a guy who had it all, who had all the accomplishments, who got into the dream school, who has the best job, who has the enviable position, who has the perfect spouse, who has all these things. And he was saying, listen, I want to make this point. And he walks into the Philippian church that he loves, that this is included in the canon of Scripture for all Christians to hear, that he said, listen, I got lifted out of the dog dump, out of the pressures of having to succeed, out of the pressures of having to accomplish all these things that the world says I need to accomplish, because I got to know Christ. Let me put it like this for point number two. Or I also want to point out that he was saying that it was not on his own strength. Listen, Paul was a human being just like you and me. If this morning you are here and there are pressures on you to succeed in this world, there's stressors upon you about succeeding, about achieving worldly success, know that Paul had those same pressures on his life. And he says about being lifted out of that to knowing Christ, it's not a righteousness that came on my own, that comes from the law. It's not something that he could do to follow a law, follow some kind of a procedure to get out of that, but it's that which is through faith in Christ. He was saying, listen, Jesus resurrected from the dead. Jesus rose above it all. Jesus overcame sin and death. He overcame everything. And because I'm putting my faith in him, I'm getting lifted out too. I'm getting lifted out of those worldly pressures. I'm getting lifted out of that dog dung to know Christ. And that was Paul's word to the Philippian church. That's Paul's word and God's word to all of us this morning who might feel the pressure of this world. This is the resurrection message. This is the resurrection application to us. We today can get lifted out of the dog dung of having to achieve all of the worldly success, all of the worldly pressures. This morning, the resurrection power is here, and we can be lifted out of that into a place of knowing Christ more. And that is good news. And that's good news for some of us this morning who feel the pressures of this world. Let me put the point like this, or point number two. What does it mean to know Christ? Knowing Christ means we are lifted free from the pressure of achieving worldly success. Let me insert a little illustration here, just a little story from my own life a few weeks ago. And I share this story because I think that many of you will relate, not to the details of my story, but I think you'll relate about how easy it is for us, even as Christians, to get caught up of going after worldly success and trying to win. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with trying to win out there, but it just creeps up on us that this could become the pressure and the constant cycle of our lives. Here's my little story, an illustration from a couple weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, Basic, our high school group, had a sports fundraiser, right? It was an ultimate frisbee thing, dodgeball thing. And so I signed up to play with the family cell group. Some of my teammates are here in this room. And we had this fundraiser, went to the park after church a couple Sundays ago. And I should say that I have not played sports for a few years now because everything's been so busy with the church and I have two young kids. And so I try to have some moderate exercise during the week, but in terms of going out there and playing sports, it's been a few years. So the week of the fundraiser of the sports event, Evangeline asked me at home, she's like, "Are you excited about playing sports this Sunday?" And I said to her, I'm turning 38 this year. I'm going to go out there and just try to stay out of the way. And my goal is not to get injured. That's what my goal is. So I told this to her at home. So went out there on that sports fundraiser. And we were in the first game. And the moment the first game started, I don't know where it came from. I wanted to win way more than I had prepared myself at home. So, maybe it's because the family cell group, we were the underdogs and no one thought we would win anything. So I want to say this just as an aside, I'm really proud of the family cell group. We won one game at Ultimate Frisbee. And we tied another game. So I'm really proud of the family cell group for that type of effort and that type of success. But we didn't win the tournament. So after it was all over, and I was eating dinner with Evangeline, I was telling her, I'm so much more disappointed than I thought I was going to be. And I told her, I wanted to win way more than I thought I would want to, and I'm way more disappointed about it than I we had talked about at home. And so I share this with you guys to say, again, there's nothing wrong with a competitive spirit and trying to win in a sports fundraiser or really anything necessarily. But the temptation is just so right there, right? That we just want to win. We just want to go out there and have the worldly success. And I want to say, I think this is a good word for some of us this morning, this point number two, because some of us, we might find ourselves on this Easter Sunday really needing to win, really needing to get into that dream school, really needing to get a promotion, really needing to have a bigger salary, really needing a nicer car, really needing to get into a relationship. When we find ourselves in that place, can I put it like this, just related to my own little story? If we get into that cycle, I think that most of you would agree with me, it becomes a very draining place of life. It becomes even a very disappointing place of life, kind of like my story. It becomes, if I can put it like this again, I know it's a gross image, but it's right there in Scripture. It's like being stuck in dog dung. If we get into a place where we constantly need to win, need to achieve, need to gain another thing and another thing, and we feel the pressures of this world, it's like being stuck in dog dung. And Paul was saying, listen, I need to draw this really crude image for you because I need to tell you the good news. I need to tell you that for me, Paul was saying, that when he began to know Christ and know him more and begin to stay on that path, moving towards resurrection, moving towards knowing Jesus more, moving towards resurrection in the future, but also resurrection in his life and in the present. He was saying, I got lifted out of all that worldly pressure. And listen, Paul was experiencing the worldly pressure. He was a Pharisee. He was expected to succeed. He was came from the lineage of ones that had an impeccable pedigree. The expectation upon him was to succeed. There was even further than an expectation, he needed to succeed in the eyes of the Jewish world, in the eyes of the Pharisaic world. And Paul was saying that he got lifted out of all that when he began to know Christ. This morning, are you here? This morning, again, I know it's a gross image, but you feel like that you were stuck in dog dung of the worldly pressures, needing to succeed, and all the stress that is placed upon you, etc. Would you, this morning, allow Jesus to lift you up, to lift you out into knowing him more, into the resurrection power, I wanted to say that Paul was speaking, and I'm speaking, to non-Christians and to Christians. Listen, the book of Philippians was written to Christians. We as Christians also experience a temptation. And that's why I tell you my little story. We face a temptation every single day too when we walk out into the same world. The pressures of needing to succeed, the pressures of having to succumb to all the pressures of this world, and going into that whole cycle and the rat race that this world has set up. And we also need to also take that moment on Easter Sunday, the resurrection story, but the resurrection application for us this morning. To say, listen, Jesus, I need you to lift me out. I accepted you as Savior before, but this morning I find myself stuck in, again, using the illustration in the dog dung of trying to succeed and all of those pressures. Jesus, lift me out and lift me into relationship with you. Lift me into further relationship with you and lift me up by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. This morning I want to lead us to a prayer of response to this passage in these two ways. One is that some of us feel stuck in the worldly pressures and just feeling the weight of all that. Let Jesus lift us up. And some of us, we have, if I can put it this way, we have gotten off at the train station. And we have just been dwelling. We have made our dwelling in the place of suffering, in the place of trouble. And Jesus is saying, listen, that's not the story of the gospel. Paul was saying this is for him, it was about moving forward and expecting resurrection power in his life, in the current, and his life in the future. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. That's why it's good news, that we don't need to camp out in our troubles. God is calling us to make a decision to move forward in it as he has outlined for us in Scripture. Let's bow our heads and pray a prayer of response. Can I ask the worship team if you can come forward at this time? Prayer team, you can come forward at this time as well as we close. These are the two prayers of response. If you're here this morning, you find yourself stuck in the dog dung of life. The pressures of this world that come upon you. You need to go after worldly success, worldly success, worldly success. Would you pray this prayer with me this morning? Jesus, would you lift me out of the pressures of having to achieve worldly success and into a deeper relationship with Jesus? I want to say again, I'm speaking to non-Christians if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but I'm also speaking to Christians. Paul was writing to Christians, Philippians. The prayer says, Jesus, lift me out resurrection power, out of the pressures of having to achieve worldly success, and lift me into a deeper relationship with Jesus. All eyes closed and heads bowed. How many of you are praying this prayer of response to God's word this morning? Just hand all the way up and then down, and I'll just pray this prayer with you. So if you raise your hand, just pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud. Jesus, this Resurrection Sunday, we ask that you would resurrect us, lift us out from the pressures of having to achieve worldly success, and lift us this morning into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Jesus. Let us experience your resurrection power, the resurrection application in our lives this morning. I also want to lead you in a prayer this morning if you're here and you feel that you've been camping out in your suffering. You've gotten off the train. You've made your dwelling there. You've made it permanent. You feel that you're permanently suffering. You're dwelling there. Your focus is there. Here's a prayer. Father, I declare your word that my sufferings are momentary, and I stay on the path knowing you more and experiencing your resurrection power. It's a powerful prayer in line with Paul's words in Philippians. Again, this morning, if you are feeling you're camping out in your sufferings and your troubles, your mind is just constantly going there, you're stressed about it, prayer is, Father, I declare your word that my sufferings are momentary and that I stay on the path that leads me to know Jesus more and leads me to experience his resurrection power. All eyes closed and heads bowed, would you just put your hand all the way up and then down if that's you, and we're going to pray together. We're going to let Jesus begin to take us on that train towards knowing him, towards resurrection power. So Father, we just come. We're just simply declaring your word. We're declaring your truth. Your word says to take heart, for our sufferings are momentary, and that we would be attaining your glory as we move forward in you. So Father, we just come and we just say, our sufferings are momentary. Pray that you would help us with those. But Lord, our perspective is on you, and we stay on the path towards knowing you more and towards experiencing your resurrection power on March 27, 2016. And into the future, we have great expectation and great assurance from your word that we as Christians are experiencing your resurrection power and will experience your resurrection power. We thank you, God, that we have that assurance. We praise you.